And now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter, and I hope you're having a happy Pride Day out there. It was a beautiful day and a great parade. And if you have an hour tonight, please join us because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are welcoming your participation with every fiber of our being. Please give us a call at area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. As I said, we are audience participation quiz program, so we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, classical music, and just about everything else. So, again, that's 415-841-4134. Our email address is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. That's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Feel free to email us anytime. We don't read them during the show, but over the course of the week. And it's always great to hear from our listeners. If you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world as we know it, simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, the lovely Debbie Kennedy will handle that with her usual tact and talent. And that will be available after the show also at kalw.org. So with that all done, we will start with a round of introductions, then a round of questions. And here's the first. Jerry Nachman, currently working without a spouse, partner, or even pet, would love to join the throngs at City Hall and is looking into the possibility of marrying himself.
Thank you, Dana.
Didn't I read that all right? What did I miss?
He said working without a spouse. Anyway, Joshua Cosman.
Well, you are.
Joshua Cosman is happy, though unsurprised, to find that his traditional marriage is doing just fine. Now that the traditional marriage is available to all. Well, we're just all tongue-tied here. Sorry, Josh.
That's all right, Dana. Fluid. Jerry. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, saw so many wedding gowns in today's Pride Parade that it looked to him like Filene's basement on sale day.
All right. That is us. And we begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Okay. What a curious and unlikely connection did Bram Stoker and Oscar Wilde have?
Bram Stoker was... Well, they were both Irish.
That's what I was going to say.
Right.
And Bram Stoker was the manager for Henry Irving, the famous actor. He was an actor's manager.
I don't know if that plays into it.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that, but that's not the connection.
Yeah, Irish is as far as I got.
And but that's not has nothing
that's
to
not
do
the
with
connection.
Being Irish.
No.
Both of them wrote novels about people who either were vampires or had paintings
of
themselves in the
closet. It's a biographical connection.
All right.
Oh. I like your reasoning, though.
Well, I didn't hear the end
right.
of it. Okay.
Who never grew old, basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. That's good.
It was a biographical. All right. Are they related in some way?
No.
All right. But it's biographical. Hmm. Okay.
It has to do with a relationship, however, I will say that.
Relationship. Did they...
A relationship.
Did they both possibly have an affair with the same person?
Very good.
Like Lord Alfred Douglas or something like that?
No. Quite the opposite.
Oh, his wife was Oscar Wilde's wife?
Here's the full answer.
Evelyn.
Both were friends.
Something like that, yeah.
Both were friends in their youth, and Wilder once courted the woman that Stoker later married.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm.
Thornton Wilder.
No, Thornton Wilder. All right.
Not him either.
Give us another question.
All right. What was the first million-selling country album?
You're the country music
guy. Yeah, oh, yeah, I am. I am, definitely.
But you're the music guy.
Yes. The first million-selling country record.
Album.
Do you want the artist or the name of the album, or what do you want?
Either one.
Million selling. Can you give us an idea how long ago it was?
No, I can't.
You don't know, or you don't want to?
I don't know.
Okay, all right. But it's by somebody you.
Oh yeah, yeah. We all know the name. Yeah.
I could guess. Actually, I could guess artists, but I don't know the names of the albums.
Yeah. Actually, there were two people on the album.
Oh.
More than two, but two that we know very well.
Oh. So like...
But I think you need to get the title because...
George Jones and Loretta Lynn?
No, no.
Who goes with Conway Twitty?
Dolly... Isn't Dolly Parton?
No, there's somebody else who's... It's not them.
All right, leave it out.
We don't know.
Leave it out. All right, read the question once
more. What was the first million-selling country album?
Country music album.
Country music album, yeah.
Josh, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. I've got a couple of Pride Day questions, both of which I stole from gay trivia guru Steve Ketterman. Who was the first actor to win an Oscar for his portrayal of a gay man, and in what movie? And what is considered the first Hollywood movie to show a gay bar on screen?
I think the first one is the Dirk Bogarde.
No.
He didn't win an Oscar. He was a gay man, but he didn't win an Oscar.
Oh, because I asked that question once before.
For what movie are you thinking?
I don't know. I don't remember the name of it. So he won an Oscar, this person.
This is the first actor to win an Oscar for portraying a gay man on screen. No, right. not the first gay actor. That would be Charles Laughton.
No, I don't mean gay
least.
Actor. I mean the first gay character. Yeah,
first gay character to.
Well, Charles Laughton wasn't an openly gay actor.
Well, no, not to you and me.
All right.
Nobody was.
So it's previous to Tom Hanks. Then
that's correct.
And
it was an Oscar-winning role or a movie.
The Oscar-winning role, Best Actor, the first actor to win an Oscar, a Best Actor Oscar,
so he was
portraying a gay man on screen.
He was openly portraying a gay man.
That
it wasn't
correct.
Somebody who later turned out to be gay or anything like that.
And he was clearly gay in the film.
Very so, very much so.
Okay. Oh.
And a Best Actor.
Best Actor.
Hmm.
Huh. Well, let me look at the other. What was the other part?
The other question was, what is considered to be the first Hollywood movie to show a gay bar on screen?
Well. That's a little tough.
Okay.
There are a couple of movies in the pre-production code that looked. I mean, yeah, you could interpret them going into bars that could have been seen as gay bars. But I guess the famous one is the gay bar in Advise and Consent.
Exactly. So
the one that Don Murray goes into,
exactly.
To find his former boyfriend.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. All right. So,
still looking for the first actor to win a Best Actor Oscar for portraying a gay man.
All right. And a creepier gay bar you will not find in a movie.
I've never seen that movie.
It's a pretty good movie.
Uh-huh.
I have to say I kind of like it, but yeah, they made it look pretty creepy. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hello, Gareth in Union City.
Hello.
A couple music questions.
Uh-huh.
It's my first one. What film composer performed violin and was believed to be the first commercial recording of Stardust?
Could you repeat that?
Go ahead.
Why don't you repeat?
What composer performed violin and what is to be the first commercial recording of Stardust?
The first commercial recording of Stardust. Let me think about that one.
Without the words, I presume.
Is it? Yeah, that's actually a good point. Is it sung or not?
No. He played a violin. It was an instrumental.
All right.
Stephen Grappelli?
No.
No, it's probably Joe Venuti then.
No, give you a clue. His name, it's the opposite of old.
It's the, new? New. Opposite of old. New. Musician. New. Something new. No, I'm sorry, I don't know.
You don't know? Victor Young.
Oh, Victor Young. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's my next question, though. The documentary Birds Do It, Bees Do It was nominated for an Oscar, although its nomination was unprecedented. What was unusual about the nomination?
Birds Do It, Bees Do It. Was that... Oh, no. I'm not familiar with that. It's not like a nature... Nothing to do with a nature documentary.
No. No, it was a very unusual Oscar nomination. It has been repeated since.
It has not been repeated?
No.
Okay. You mean the category?
Yeah, category. It hasn't been repeated since.
Oh, the category hasn't been repeated since. No.
You don't know?
No.
It was the only documentary nominated for Best Musical Score and also the only Oscar nomination for its composer, Gerald Fried.
Oh. All right. I'm sorry we didn't do better.
Yeah.
Take care.
Yeah.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call if you'd like to join in with a question or answer. The number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. All right, let's do a couple of questions here. The first Broadway play with a strong and sympathetic gay male storyline was written and produced by what future Hollywood star? The first Broadway play with a strong and sympathetic gay male storyline was written and produced by what future Hollywood star?
I'm not trying to be pedantic, but can you just be more clear about what you mean by a gay male storyline? Storyline that dates other storylines?
The plot of the play dealt partially with a gay male performer who appeared on the stage.
Would it be giving away too much if you give us a decade for this play?
Initially, it might. Yes.
Okay. Because nothing's coming right.
But it was before 1950. I'll give you that.
Okay.
All right.
A future Hollywood star.
The first Broadway play with strong and sympathetic gay male storyline was written and produced by what major future Hollywood star?
Is he gay?
I'm not going to say.
I don't assume it's a he.
No, that's right.
I'm just trying to think of major Hollywood stars who wrote and produced plays.
I can't think of anybody.
You know,
yeah.
Who's that?
Yeah.
Did
this person write or produce later in Hollywood?
They wrote later in Hollywood. I don't know if they produced later in Hollywood.
Interesting. All right.
Leave
somebody
that
out there is going to.
Okay. Second question. Who were the three presidents who refused to attend the inaugurations of their successors?
Ooh.
Who were the three presidents who refused to attend the inaugurations of their successors?
Lincoln.
No, well, not because they were dead. They were alive and in good health.
You didn't say that.
No. I don't think Lincoln would have refused had he been alive.
No.
And there's a logical reason for them all.
It wasn't just spite, you mean?
Well, spite, I'm sure, enters into
it. Yeah, but I'm just trying to...
Who was Teddy Roosevelt's predecessor?
Teddy Roosevelt's predecessor died.
Yeah, McKinley.
Oh.
So it wasn't that.
So once more, who were the three presidents who refused to attend the inaugurations of their successors?
Did Wilson die in office?
No, but he had a major stroke, but he did attend the inauguration of Harding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Three, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Are they all before the 20th century?
Yes.
It doesn't feel like a 20th century thing
yes,
to do.
Yes, they are all before the 20th century.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Yeah, movie, Academy Award-winning movie, would that have been The Naked Civil Servant, Quentin Crisp?
Which question are you asking?
What movie was played about a gay man and won an Academy Award?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm looking for someone who won an Oscar for Best Actor. So that wasn't
playing a part of a gay man.
Exactly, right.
But that
wasn't the movie The Naked Civil Servant.
But that was actually made for television.
It was?
Yeah, it was. That wasn't a feature film.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hey, Thomas.
Is the actor William Hurt?
Yes, it is. For what movie?
Kiss of the Spider-Woman.
Exactly so. Well done.
Oh, yeah, very good.
The Broadway thing that was positive gay male.
Right.
Is it either William Inge or Tennessee Williams?
No.
Okay. I got one bell. I'm happy.
Thanks, Thomas.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. And remember, this person later became a Hollywood star, so not just a writer, star. And we have a couple of lines open at area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Ever Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. It's 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. And our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman from the San Francisco Chronicle, classical music critic Joshua Cosman. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay. whose home is the only national landmark site in the United States associated with a classical musician?
Oh, good question.
Whose home is the only
national landmark site
In
the country associated with a classical musician? I'll give you a couple of guesses each.
How about Liberace?
No, he's not a classical musician.
Well, sure he was.
Sure he was. Well, I guess he was. Okay, no. that's a good guess, though.
Are you sort of implying that this was their home, the home of this musician?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Huh. It's a national landmark.
It was their home.
Why is it a national landmark?
Was this a composer or just a performer, would you say? Well, you said classical musician. I'm just wondering if there was this person was a composer.
A composer, yeah.
Oh. American. Oh.
Don't know.
How about Dvorak?
No.
Ooh, good guess.
Because of,
Because of what?
Iowa.
Yeah.
It was Iowa, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He grew up in Iowa?
No, he spent a few years in Iowa.
Yeah.
So you guessed two. Oh, no, I
only guess one.
Yeah. You guess one each. Okay, one more guess. Okay.
Composer.
All right.
Never mind. All right, let me think about it.
Okay.
I don't want to eat up airspace, airtime.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, is the former future star Mae West?
It is Mae West. Oh, very good.
Right.
Yes.
Well done.
Of course.
I'm sorry, did you say the name of the play?
The Drag.
The Call of the Drag, yes.
Oh.
Very good.
Great.
Mm. Yeah, we saw it. Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you very much. Yes, the first Broadway play with a strong and sympathetic gay male storyline. It was written, produced by what future Hollywood star? That was the play was called The Drag. It was Mae West. It was 1927, I want to say, and the police raided it and they closed it, but it gave it enormous publicity. So
that's
it
not the one she went
hit.
To jail for. That was sex was the name.
She
of that
she was also arrested for The Drag.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Oh, she was.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, very good. Good job. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Big Radul from the Carnero.
Hello.
I have some questions about the movie On the Waterfront.
Okay.
Three characters in the film, well, not characters, actors. Tony Galento, Tammy Murillo, and Abe Simon. What do they all have in common?
They were all professional boxers.
Right.
Okay, and beyond that?
Well, they're all heavy. Well,
I don't know. The only one I remember.
Teton Tony and Galento.
Yeah, Galento is the only name I actually recognize, but I figured that was the answer.
But there was it, who else was in that? Max Baer. I'm sorry, what do you want out of, I'm sorry, what do you, tell us what you want again?
Well, they were all heavyweight
boxers. Right, they're all heavyweight.
And they have something more in common than just being heavyweight fighters.
Did they all?
I mean, it's boxing. It's more boxing info that.
Were they all champions?
No.
Would they all fight the same person?
Yes.
Joe Louis.
Yes, they all lost to Joe Louis.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good.
And
right.
Then a further question about Abe Simon. What was significant about him in fighting Joe Louis for the championship?
Did he either have the? Was he one of the? He wasn't one of the bum of the month club.
No.
Did he actually either had the shortest fight with Louis or the longest fight?
No.
All right. Did he knock Louis down?
not to my knowledge, but I didn't look that deeply into it.
Okay, well, no, neither did I. So, okay. No, that's about as far as I can go, I think.
Okay. Well, he was the last Jewish fighter to fight for the heavyweight championship.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
1942. There was another character, another actor in the film by the name of Tiger Joe Marsh, and his claim to fame was he is a 1937 world wrestling champion, but he had one other sort of claim to fame. Do you know what that was?
He's a wrestling champion.
I don't know his name.
Anything to do with being wrestling on TV?
No, it doesn't involve wrestling.
Oh, it's something he did in the war, World War II?
No.
Okay, no, I'm just guessing. We don't know.
Okay, he was the original model for Mr. Clean.
Oh, all right, that's good.
What was his name again?
Tiger Joe Marsh.
Okay,
Tiger Joe Marsh. Okay.
And one last question. There was a Harvard graduate in that cast on the waterfront. Do you know who that was? He graduated in 1951.
Harvard graduate.
And was a boxer?
No.
Okay.
But he was part of the cast.
A significant role? Would you say?
No, he was down the
Harvard graduate wrote the score.
Oh. Who's that?
It's good.
Leonard Bernstein.
Leonard Bernstein. Huh? Yeah. Down the cast list. No.
Fred Gwynne.
Oh, Fred Gwynne. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Good.
It's funny. I was just trying to remember because I saw it recently. I said, "There's a guy who plays, you know, Lee J. Cobb's right hand man, who's young, and we know him later."
Well, they all had. Couldn't remember who it was. Great faces in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They cast for that.
Good questions. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye bye. And oops, go for me. Let's see now, Josh. It's your turn.
Okay. If I were to make an alphabetical list of Tony winning musicals, best musical Tony winners, disregarding articles, so A chorus line would be under C, and disregarding digits, what would be the first and last in that alphabetical list?
Once more.
An alphabetical list of winners for the best musical Tony.
Right.
Tony for best musical. What would be the first and last list on that alphabetical
disregarding
list? Disregarding the digits in 1776 and 42nd Street.
Best musical, Tony. Okay.
Yeah.
And so we go back to the...
And disregarding anything that might have won this past year, because this question goes back a couple months and I...
All right.
Check.
No, that's okay. It didn't... Kinky Boots was this
Oh, yeah,
year.
That's right. Okay, good.
Annie?
No, before Annie.
Oh, that's good.
That's a good guess.
You mean before Annie in the alphabet?
Before Annie in the alphabet, yeah.
I have to go back to 1947, I think, or 48. Before Annie in the alphabet. All right, we can think about that.
So the earliest alphabetical best musical and the last alphabet.
Well, how about Zorba?
That's not
the early. I don't think that won a best musical, Tony, did it?
It may have. I don't know.
Could you give us a general idea?
Certainly
would
have been nominated.
How far back it goes?
Not as far as Z. What do you mean?
How far back you're talking about for the one you're looking for?
I'm looking for the alphabetical first and the alphabetical last.
Oh, okay. All
right. Jerry had it right, except that Zorba didn't win for best musical. Was that it? That's the right idea.
West Side Story?
No. Good guess, but not right.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Are a Matter.
Good evening.
Hi. Hello.
I have a question for you based on the American Film Institute's 100 Greatest Movie Quotes. And the question is this. Which movie has the most quotes and the list of the 100 best?
Casablanca.
Casablanca's the right movie. Can you get all six?
Mm. Well, I once asked this. I put it in a different way. Round up the usual suspects.
This is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Yeah. Here's looking at you, kid.
Play it, Sam.
Play it again, Sam.
Yeah.
Again.
That's four.
What else are we missing? Doesn't take much to see that the problems of... Is it the whole quote?
Two people who doesn't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world.
How are we doing there?
Last one, I couldn't quite understand what you were saying.
The Hill of Beans quote.
The Hill of Beans quote. It doesn't take much to see that the problems of two...
Yeah.
We'll always have Paris?
Right. One more, which is one of the books from the movie and quite well known.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is
that's
going...
That's it.
Humphrey Bogart rumbling.
Mumbling?
Grumbling.
Shocked is certainly one of them, I would think.
Shocked is not on the list. I'm shocked.
Yeah, I think it was. No. So we just need the Humphrey Bogart one.
One more.
A grumbling line.
One clue.
You wore blue, the Germans wore gray.
I came to Casablanca for the waters. There are no waters. I was misinformed.
No.
Oh, what is it? We give up.
Here's a clue. It contains the word gin.
Gin?
Out of all the gin joints in the world.
She had to come into mind.
Right.
That's good. Okay.
Good. Okay, good job.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Today being...
Hit us with the hard stuff, Dana.
Yeah. This is pretty hard. Considering this is Gay Pride Day, I just thought I would look through my list of my Leonard Maltin guide of classical films and pick out ones that had gay in the title. So what I'm going to do is give you six actors who starred in films with the word gay in the title. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Six actors who starred in different films with the word gay in the title. Number one, Carol Lombard. Number two, George Sanders. Number three, Ida Lupino. Number four, Ginger Rogers. Number five, Roy Rogers. And number six, Barbara Stanwyck. So, see, there are six actors who all start in films that had the word gay in the title.
Hmm.
Number one, Carol Lombard. Number two, George Sanders. Number three, Ida Lupino. Number four, Ginger Rogers. Number four, Roy Rogers. Ginger Rogers, Roy Rogers, and Barbara Stanwyck. Yes.
So, Jerry, this is all, you know, your old-timey stuff. So can I just jump in with the only one I know?
Yeah.
Ginger Rogers is in The Gay Divorcee.
Yes, of course. Yes. I had to throw in a gimme there someplace.
Yeah. Okay, that's all.
Movie called The Gay Caballero, but was that one of them?
You're on the right track, but it's not quite it. I can't quite give it to you.
It's not Caballero, it's a gay...
There's two that sound kind of like that, but that's not it.
Okay.
Hmm.
And I would guess that might have been Roy Rogers, but.
Okay. Ginger Rogers is The Gay Divorcee, and so we're still looking for Carol Lombard, George Sanders, Ida Lupino, Roy Rogers, and Barbara Stanwyck. They all starred in films with gay in
the title. Once the word gets a new meaning, it just drops out of the film lexicon.
Pretty much, because I think the last one with gay in the title was in the early 50s.
Did it ever
used in that way.
Didn't it come back in later with, you know, gay, I mean, homosexually themed?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Late 80s, 90s kind of thing.
It's a musical called The Gay Life. Maybe there was a movie called The Gay Life.
No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
Nope. Since we are about halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry?
What was the first million-selling country album?
And there's two people involved.
Country music album. Two prominent people were on it.
Right.
I want their names or the names or the title of the album. And what else? I guess that's all. Is that? Whose Home is the only national landmark site in the United States associated with a classical musician, and it is a composer.
It is a composer. Classical musician. Hmm. It's a national landmark.
Yeah, surprise.
Maybe you don't know the answer to this, but it's a national landmark. Not because it's a famous house on its own, just because it's associated with this person.
Yes, that's why. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure that's why.
Samuel Barber?
No.
It seems unlikely. I want to say like Stravinsky?
No. You both guessed two.
All right.
I'll actually guess later in the show.
All right. Okay. Josh, I'm sorry, what do you have?
And last in the alphabetical list of musicals to win the Best Musical Tony. something earlier in the alphabet than Annie and something later in the alphabet than West Side Story.
And excluding and
excluding
the,
and,
a,
and,
blah, blah, blah.
And right.
All right. Who were the three presidents who refused to attend the inaugurations of their successors? Who were the three U.S. presidents who refused to attend the inaugurations of their successors? And these actors all starred in films with the word gay in the title. Number one, Carol Lombard. Number two, George Sanders. Number three, Ida Lupino. Number four, Roy Rogers. Number five, Barbara Stanwyck. So, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is John Garcia in San Francisco.
Hi, John.
Hey, wanted to take a crack at the country music million seller.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to take a crack. It's Ray Charles with Modern Sounds of Country Music.
No, it is not.
Okay, yes. Interesting.
Okay.
Well, thank you, though.
Don't go away mad.
No, he's not. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is John in Berkeley.
Hi, John.
Well, I'll take a stab at the presidents.
Yes.
So to speak.
Great.
How about Grover Cleveland?
No, you're the like for Benjamin Harrison, maybe or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, you know,
yeah.
Not,
not Grover Cleveland. You're in the right century, though.
All right, then Rutherford B. Hayes.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I have a question for you, though.
Okay.
Can you tell me what Paris Green is and what it's used for?
Say it once more, please.
Paris Green.
Paris, like in the city of Paris.
Like the city of Paris and green as the color.
Oh, Paris Green.
Hmm. So what is it and what is it used for?
Is it absinthe by any chance?
No.
Ooh, good guess.
That's a good guess.
It's some kind of, it's some kind of dye or colorant, but...
That's true.
It's to make good. It's to make liquid Prel.
Only if you really didn't like the other person.
So is it a fashion accoutrement used for a particular color in a dress, for instance?
No. Again, you wouldn't want your best friend to wear the dress.
Though. Okay. Paris.
It's poisonous of some in some respect.
Yes, it's highly poisonous.
Paris Green.
But it had been used as a colorant.
So is the name, the fact that they added Paris on, called it Paris Green, is that a, kind of a slam in some way?
No.
All right.
No.
Well, you know.
Yeah,
like
now,
the English
now they
disease,
would call it
like the French
freedom
disease.
Green.
Yeah.
Freedom Green. And I'll also say that it has more than one use, though the use I'm going after is basically the only use it's used now.
Hmm. So you were on the right track, Josh, with something on there.
Yeah, it's got some kind of industrial use that's highly dangerous. It's something that for years, for centuries, was used in some kind of industrial thing like mercury for hatting, then was discovered to cause terrible neurological damage. I'm just making this up. Stop me when I go wrong.
Well, you're on the right track with color. I think it's color.
It seems like absinthe has to be... Everything's pointing towards absinthe.
But said I wasn't right.
Yeah, but I just thought he might want to reconsider.
All
right, we don't know.
We don't know.
Well,
we gave it our best shot.
It's also appropriate for the coming week.
Fourth of July?
It's Fourth of July. It's got something to do with fireworks.
There you go.
It's what makes the green fireworks green? Well, we were so right, and then we veered off again. I don't know.
Veered off. No, it sort of ironically enough, it's used for a nice, very intense blue.
Oh. And so, why? And is it more particularly dangerous than other colorants in fireworks? Or, I mean, why have you singled it out for opprobrium thus?
Well, not so much opprobrium because, well, originally it was used as an insecticide and rodenticide.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called Paris Green because when it's in concentrated form, it's this powder and it's a green color. And it used to be used in the sewers of Paris to
blow up the rats.
Got it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and it's copper acetoarsenite, and it's the arsenic that's poisonous part.
All right.
Good.
So it's used for blue color. If you want a really, really intense blue, use copper acetoarsenite. If you don't want the arsenic to go with it, then you use something
else. So Paris Green is actually blue.
Yeah. Right. A pair of green lights.
All right.
So the next set of questions is, what gives you the green color of fireworks, and what can be used to make the red color? What chemical element?
Well, considering what a hard time we had,
I was going
to
say, obviously,
near to the first one.
Green is made with Paris blue, right? I mean,
after a chemical element from the periodic table.
For blue is cobalt.
No, cobalt's not used. That's a good guess.
It should be. It's blue.
Sulfur.
And for red, it would be cadmium. I'm just making stuff up here. Stop, you know.
Well, you're going sort of along the line of paints.
All right.
Green was used for green oil paints.
What we should do is leave that to the audience because Ebe hasn't called in yet. And that
being true. Okay, so what I want then is what chemical element is used for green?
Right.
What two elements are used for red? There are two elements that one can come up with.
All right.
And let's see. Yellow.
Right.
Evil knows.
Evil knows.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
Good.
We'll put you on hold. Hold on for a second, okay?
Okay.
Thanks. And I believe
that
it is Jerry's turn, actually.
Okay. In a box of grape nut cereal, as we all know, there are neither grapes nor nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Why was it called that? Silence.
This is one of those things I would just wait for Dana to know the answer
But didn't the part of the wheat that they used look like a little nut or something, like the kernel of the wheat look something like that?
No.
All right. Because it's wheat-based cereal, I think. All right.
One is fairly obscure, and one is very obscure, and one is sort of very obvious.
All right. Say it again, Jerry.
Okay. There are neither grape nor nuts in a box of grape nuts. Why is it so called?
Right.
Good question.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Every Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Yeah, this is David in Oakland.
Hi, David.
I just heard that. Maybe the nuts, because it tastes that sort of a nutty flavor.
Oh. Yes. Nuts refers to the cereal's flavor and or crunch.
Of course, I ignored the most obvious and logical answer.
So that's the obvious one. Now you get the obscure one.
Someone else in the audience.
Yeah.
About the presidents who didn't attend their successors, were you saying only elected successors? Because I know Nixon didn't go to Gerald Ford.
No. Only living presidents and elected presidents.
Okay, so I know one of them is Andrew Johnson, didn't go to Grant's.
Very good. That is absolutely true. Yes, Andrew Johnson did not go to Ulysses Grant's.
Right. And I actually have a question for you as well.
Hmm?
You know, A&E put out a list of the 100 most important people of the millennium, in the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Three Americans are still alive who are on that list.
Ooh. Of the millennium.
And I'll narrow it a little bit because I know it's... That's broad. One of them is in the entertainment field,
mm-hmm.
one in industry, and one in the sciences.
I would assume Bill Gates was on that list, wasn't he?
Bill Gates is one, yeah.
Okay. Right. I don't know if he's industry or sciences.
Right.
Probably industry.
That's not in the sciences. Sciences,
really?
You're classifying Bill Gates in which category? I'm sorry?
In the business and industry.
He's, right. Okay, that's okay.
There's someone who's more of a pure scientist on that field, and there's someone else in the entertainment field.
Pure sciences. This person win the Nobel Prize?
Yes.
Okay.
And in fact, he was the highest ranking of these three people on their list.
She. All right.
She? Is that
Nobel? Yeah. That's the impression I got.
Did you say it was a woman?
No.
You misheard.
All right.
So a Nobel Prize winning American scientist who was more influential than Bill Gates in the estimation of the folks at A&E.
Right.
Interesting.
Well.
Is Jonas Salk still alive?
No.
Is Linus Pauling still alive?
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
Not, I'm just asking about Salk and Pauling.
Not any of the inventors of the transistor, for instance.
No. I will. Well, I'll give you a clue about that. He didn't win it by himself. He won it with his partner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we know Pierre Curie's dead.
Yeah. And Watson and Crick are both British.
Not an American. And, yeah, right.
American, yes. Okay. All right. An American who won the Nobel Prize.
The person in the entertainment field is probably the easiest. Or, I would think.
Bob Dylan.
That's good.
No, that's a good guess.
That's a good guess. And these people are all Americans.
Yeah, these are the three.
There's some other people who are not Americans who are still alive, like Nelson Mandela and Gore. But okay. There are two more Americans that are still alive. I'll put it this way. One of them is the movie industry.
Yeah. They didn't put Spielberg in there, did they?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, well.
Right, exactly.
And
the last one is known with his partner, the scientist. And in fact, their names are inextricably linked.
Huh. Seems like this should be gettable, but we're striking out.
Yeah. His partner was English. He's an American.
Well, now, wait a minute. I said, well, Watson and Crick are both English, but...
That's it. No, Watson's American.
Oh, okay. That was the first thing I thought of, but then I thought, well, they've just been hawking his... It was only Crick who was English?
Yes, exactly.
I didn't know. All right.
He's still alive? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
even.
He's still alive.
All right.
Everybody's
job.
Great question.
Good job.
Thank you.
Right. Sure. And, Josh, I think it's your turn.
All right. Here's an easy one for you. Who's the only Nobel laureate in any field with the same name as his or her country?
Anatole France.
Yeah, see, I told you you'd get that one. So, in 1990, the Crime Writers Association, a British organization, published a list of their top 100 crime novels of all time.
We're getting a lot of top 100 questions.
Yeah, they're good questions. What was the only book in the top 10 not to be published during the 20th century?
Oh. A novel, not a story.
A novel. These are the top 100 crime novels of all time. And the only book in the top 10 not published during the 20th century.
Well, one of the Poe books, I would guess. Murders in the Rue Morgue?
No. Not a Poe.
No Poe?
No Poe. Okay. Not in the top 10.
Huh. Really?
A mystery.
Yeah.
What kind of a list?
Crime novels.
What kind of a list can that be without Edgar Allan Poe?
They just said they weren't in the top 10. They published the 100.
Can you give us the nationality of the author?
British. It was a British organization. But actually, I say that as though that were obvious. And in fact, this author
and not
British.
Published. I'm sorry,
not published in the 20th century.
How about the Wilkie Collins, the Woman in White, or the Moonstone?
Which one?
Woman in White.
Oh, I bet the Moonstone. Yeah. Oh.
Dana wins that one.
Yeah.
The Moonstone. That's absolutely right.
Never
well
heard
done.
Of that one. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I've never read the Moonstone? You,
it's good.
You really
yeah,
should read
it's,
it.
It's a lot of
it's
fun.
It's phenomenally good.
Okay.
Yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Dave and SF.
Hey, Dave.
Ida Lupino is the gay desperado.
That is correct. The gay desperado. Very good. Mm. Very good.
I have one for you guys.
Uh-huh.
In the 1940s, there was a movie actor who wrote serious symphonic music. Who was he? Now, he was self-taught. He went out and bought books on music theory, music harmony, orchestration, and as Joshua can tell you, writing serious music is one of the most difficult things, even if you had a teacher.
Yeah.
He had no teacher.
Huh.
Now, this went on for a number of years, and in the late 40s, the big event happened. The newspapers in New York said the world premiere of this movie star's composition, Partita for Orchestra. It's going to take place in New York City. Partita for Orchestra was performed by the New York Philharmonic. You can't get anything better than the New York Philharmonic.
Wow.
Who was this actor who did this work?
Dave, this is a wonderful story.
At first, I thought it was going to be Chaplin.
That's what I was thinking, too. But no.
Because he was self-taught.
Yeah. No, it's got to be James Franco. No, that's a great story. I wish I knew the answer.
So,
who could that be?
Did this person, they were popular in what era, would you say? The 30s, 40s, 50s kind of thing?
Always. Everything, always.
Okay.
He was an Academy Award winner.
Oh.
Wow.
Made movies for Warner Brothers, Columbia, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
Paul Muni?
No.
Huh.
Edward G. Robinson?
No.
He was a very erudite.
Yeah. He was an art
collector.
Yeah. Give it to you.
We don't know, dude.
All right. Yeah. What is it?
Lionel Barrymore.
All right. I do recall reading about that someplace. Yes, I do
That's
recall
great.
That a little bit. That's a good question.
Right. Thank
and,
you.
And okay. was the, and what was the reaction to his Partita? Did it get slammed?
Oh, they liked it.
Oh, they
much.
Did.
I think it was Artur Rozinski, who was the conductor of the Philharmonic at that time
right.
in the 40s, who programmed it.
That's terrific. I had no idea. Thank you.
It's kind of an unusual question, and not many people are. You know, he also was a painter. He specialized in watercolors.
Right.
If you could find an original Barrymore today, it would cost you big bucks.
Hmm. Interesting.
Jeez, who would have guessed that? Nobody. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Okay.
Take care. Josh, since we answered your question, why don't you throw in something else if you want?
Sure. What's the only African country that has Spanish as an official language?
The Sahara, the Spanish Sahara. It used to be called Spanish Sahara.
Ethiopia?
Not Ethiopia.
It's the former Spanish colony. It's south of Morocco
yeah.
on the coast.
What's the name of the country?
But it was
Spanish.
Called Spanish Sahara, and now it's what's it called? Oh, I'll think of it in a second.
Okay.
All right.
We'll leave it out for those who actually know the answer.
Oh, excuse me. I always know the older answers.
Right. Dahomey.
Dahomey. No, not Dahomey.
Go ahead.
This being Pride Day, I should throw in this other gay question or a gay influence question. What major U.S. city has the highest percentage of gay couples? It is not San Francisco. What major U.S. city has the highest percentage of their population that are gay couples?
Santa Fe.
No.
Provincetown.
No. That's not a major U.S. city.
I was trying to figure out. I thought New York and said no.
It's not New York.
Because of the percentage.
And it's not San Francisco and it's not Los Angeles.
Miami.
No.
Atlanta.
No.
Ooh, good guess.
I don't know.
Seattle.
No.
Portland.
No.
Okay.
All right. So what major U.S. city has the highest percentage of its population that are gay couples?
It's not Cheyenne, Wyoming.
That's not Cheyenne, Wyoming. No. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134.
Josh, I've been pondering the alphabetical Tony winners.
Jerry gets very frustrated when he comes to talk to these right
yeah.
away.
Yeah, if it's not Zorba. So I figure it has to be Y, but I can't think of
it. It's not Y.
It isn't
no,
Y.
No, it's,
wow.
It's W.
Oh, W. Oh, and before West Side Story.
After West Side Story.
Wish You Were Here is after.
You mean after West Side Story in the alphabet?
Or? Alphabet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, after in the alphabet.
Yeah, we don't care about the chronology.
Wish You Were Here.
No, even further.
Oh. Huh.
All right.
The Wiz. The Wizard of Oz.
Even further.
Okay. Wow.
And let's go to a call.
Jeez.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Good.
So I'll be very quick. Mm-hmm. I want you to name the only science named after a country. What is a science and what is a country?
Ooh, interesting.
The only science that is named after a country. So
right. I'll give you a hint, because if I'm short, it is the old name of the country, not current name.
Oh.
I'll make it further simple. Ancient name of the country. Ancient.
Is this Egypt by any chance? Anything to do with Egypt?
Of course. What was the ancient name of Egypt? All right. What was the name? Okay. Well, that's why you have lots of chemical symbols like sodium and other Egyptian symbols. What was the name of ancient Egypt, by the way? Does anybody know?
So chemistry you're looking for.
Chemistry. So chemistry is exactly that. Right. Good show, but I do wish if some of your callers kind of limit their time a little bit. You know, when they take 5, 6, 7.
You should talk.
Yeah, no, but I've been short in the last many weeks.
You have. Yeah. You have.
And well, thank you very much.
That was thank
great.
You.
Thanks,
Eve.
Bye bye.
Josh, how about Wonderful Town?
There you go.
Oh, okay.
Wonderful Town.
Good
that's
job.
One.
That's
I
got to
get the A.
Now you got to get the A before,
Annie.
Before Annie.
Okay.
All right. Wonderful Town. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
I believe that John Quincy Adams didn't go to Jackson's.
You are correct. John Quincy Adams did not go to Andrew Jackson's inauguration. Very good. Good job.
Just a guess, maybe Van Buren didn't go to Harrison's?
No, not that.
Okay. George Sanders was the gay Falcon.
Very good. I'm glad you got that.
And I have a question.
Yes.
I am thinking of a Hollywood actress who appeared in a film that came out this year in which she played the mother of a classical musician. And her film debut was in 1948.
All right. This actress's film debut was in 1948, and this year she played the mother of a classical musician in a film.
Yeah.
All right. Was this a real person who she was the mother of? A real classical musician? A famous person?
A famous person, yes.
Okay.
It was a biopic.
That came out this year?
This year. You mean 2013?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That's terrible.
That doesn't ring any bells. I'm ashamed.
We've already mentioned the classical musician.
Uh-oh.
Lionel Barrymore. I'm looking frantically
at Dvorak.
Actresses who made a film debut in 48 who are still around suggests Lauren Bacall, but she's not still being in movies, is she?
No. I thought you would approach it from the classical musician.
I would, but I just you know.
All right.
I love Lauren Bacall.
I can approach it from the 1948 standpoint.
How do you make a debut in 1948 except as an infant?
Oh, no. You could be...
No, it's true. You could be 19. You could be Lauren Bacall.
Right. Were these people... are these people American or...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Another hint. Her eldest daughter was a princess.
You mean the eldest daughter of the actress you're looking for?
Yes.
Was a princess. It's not Rita Hayworth.
No.
A princess by marriage?
No.
Oh.
Played a princess.
Oh, played a princess.
Oh, played a princess. Oh, we're doing so badly here.
Yeah, we're not.
This is awful.
One nomination for Best Actress for the Academy in 1964, I think.
Oh, Julie Andrews.
No.
64.
That's not Julie Andrews?
Well, she might have been nominated in 64, but that's not. It's not Julie Andrews, I guess. So,
all right. We're striking out.
Yeah, we're striking out. We're doing terrible here.
Debbie Reynolds.
Debbie Reynolds.
Carrie Fisher.
Oh, sure. She was Liberace's mother in
Behind the Company.
Yeah.
right.
And Carrie Fisher played Princess Leia.
Okay.
See, we were just thinking too literally about
this.
Yes,
very nice.
Well, good try.
Thanks.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, Josh, one more shot.
Okay.
All right.
This was not a Tony winner, I don't think, but Allegro.
I don't know what it was or not, but I know what it is, but I can't imagine it.
No.
One of their
failures. You need to go earlier than the alphabet.
Earlier than Allegro.
Earlier than Allegro.
Hmm.
Do you know what decade it was in?
I know the year. It was 1978.
Oh, 78. 78, Jerry.
Hmm.
Were you in New York then? No?
I actually was.
Oh, okay.
I'll give you a hint. It was what has become known as one of these jukebox musicals, more or less.
Oh.
Oh.
Probably one of the first.
Yeah, that's pretty early for
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, before the term came in. But.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, while you're thinking about it, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, me?
It is you.
Hi, it's Ken in Brooklyn.
How Hi.
Hey, Ken.
How's it going?
Good.
So the earlier caller got John Quincy Adams, but I'm thinking his dad didn't like Jefferson too much.
That's right. It kind of ran in the family. John Adams, John Quincy Adams, and like father, like son, I guess.
Give the man Very a bell. He's all the way across the country.
Good job.
The gay films, was there a Zorro the Gay Blade?
Ooh.
Well, there was a Zorro the Gay Blade, but that was George Hamilton. But that wasn't on the list, though.
Oh, curses. Well...
That's very good.
We knew it existed.
We just have, the ones we have left are Carol Lombard, Roy Rogers, and Barbara Stanwyck.
I'm pretty sure I know none of those.
Okay.
Was the grape nuts question completely answered?
No, nobody's got the grape part.
I assumed the whole thing was a reference to the consistency of grape seeds.
No.
Oh.
No.
All right. Well, then the last guess I have is the African country being Cameroon.
It is not Cameroon.
Oh, well.
I'm sorry.
All right. I got one.
You did. Thanks for
there
calling.
There you go.
Is ABBA the name of the show or the
No, that's Mamma Mia.
Yeah, okay. Oh, you got me.
All right.
Oh, no. Oh, Debbie said All That Jazz, but that's not.
Not All That Jazz.
Good guess, though, yeah.
Huh, okay. And next call? Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
I can't give all the names. I know that. Would you repeat the question about the famous property that's known all over every place, owned by a movie star?
Oh, you mean a classical musician?
It is a classical
musician.
Right. I have the wrong one.
That's you, Jerry.
There's
a home of a classical classical composer that is a national landmark in the United States.
Right.
I was going to give you Orson Welles.
No.
Nope.
Wrong one. Sorry.
Okay. That's okay. Thank you, though.
Where is it? I can't find it.
All right, one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Okay, the only African country with Spanish as the official language is Equatorial Guinea.
That is correct. Oh. Well done.
What happened to Spanish Sahara?
It's not a country.
Oh, all right. It's still part of it. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, time to clean up.
Okay, the first million-selling country music album was called Wanted, The Outlaws, featuring Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings.
Oh. And Madam. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're just being silly.
I am.
And the composer whose home is the only national landmark site in the United States is Aaron Copland's two-bedroom home in Rock Hill, called Rock Hill, in Cortland Manor, New York.
I did not know that.
You did not know that.
That's good.
And Grape Nuts is named, the grape part is maltose. It's one of the original ingredients. This was known as grape sugar in 1898.
Good.
That's pretty obscure.
Do you know the musical features the music of Fats Waller?
Amos Behaven, yes.
Oh,
I was getting there. Oh,
yeah.
I was close.
Okay.
Very good.
What do you got, Dan?
The U.S. city, the major U.S. city that had the highest percentage of gay couples, that's Washington, D.C. These actors all starred in films with the word gay in the title. Carol Lombard starred in The Gay Bride. Roy Rogers starred in The Gay Ranchero. And Barbara Stanwyck starred in a film called The Gay Sisters. I think that is it for me. If we did not get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Oh, John from Berkeley. What chemical elements are used to make colors and fireworks? Green is barium. Red is strontium or lithium. And yellow is sodium or iron. So thank you for that, those who have been wondering. And if we didn't get to your call, we're very sorry. Thanks for joining Minds Over Matter. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman. From The Chronicle, Joshua Cosman. Thank you very much, Josh. You'll be back next week.
I will be here.
And I'm your moderator, Dana Rutter.